It could be found in your bulletin, or you could follow along on the screen as well. It comes from multiple passages, so we'll read through them all. Okay. From Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." From Hosea. "But I have been the Lord your God ever since you came out of Egypt. You shall acknowledge no God but me, no Savior except me." From 1 Timothy. "Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst." And from Jude. "To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen." Done.
Good morning.
Good morning.
God is good, and it's a joy for you all to be here today, I'm sure. Today we're going to scan through four texts, four portions of the scripture I want to talk about. The overall theme will be salvation, and normally I've chosen one paragraph to talk about, but today I'm doing a topical sermon on the subject of salvation. The term salvation is used in religious and non-religious settings. You've heard, "I've saved $10, saved by the bell, saved by the hair of your chinny chin chin." Anybody's been saved that way? Yeah, I'm sure. Saved a life. And there's others. Yesterday, while I was walking my dog, I met the HOA enforcer there in Kingstown area where Joe and I live. And she was walking her dog also, but her dog had on its front feet bandages. And I had been preparing this sermon, and I said, "What's wrong with your dog?" And she said, "My dog has hot spots." Does anybody know what hot spots are? What's a hot spot? Irritation, and the dog's chewing on it and licking it, and it bleeds. I want to tell you today that if you have a dog that has hot spots, Anthony's salvation miracle cure will work for you. Not only for hot spots, but all kinds of things, itches and rashes. And in truth, I bet it would work for a human too. So, go out and buy some of Anthony's salvation. Even in movies, salvation is a theme. Terminator salvation. Wonderful picture. I recommend it for everybody. Even in theology, great theologians, one such great theologian many years ago, his name was Oscar Kuhlmann, a German New Testament theologian, developed this idea and concept of salvation history. Heilsgeschichte. And basically, he said something that we believe. The Old Testament and the New Testament, and in the middle is Jesus Christ, the center of it all. So even in theology, we hear about salvation. But today, I want to look at the Bible and look at a few things that the Bible has to say about salvation. It's important for us as believers. Because salvation is about the saving presence of God, the power of God touching our lives. And it is very important. I want to talk about the idea of individual salvation and how that works out within communities for Christian. And salvation, for most of us, we think of individually as we encounter God. But one of the things that we see when we look at this idea of salvation is that it is the self the self-revelation of God, the Trinity. Because for Christians, salvation is shown not only through Jesus Christ, the Savior, but the Holy Spirit and also the Father are engaged in salvation. In fact, I'm going to read a quote from a professor I had once, and I agree with him. Actually, the Bible ascribes all the works of God to each member of the Trinity, both individually and collectively. Each of the divine persons has a specific function, yes, yet they work in perfect harmony and cooperation at all times. And that's what Christians traditionally have believed about the Trinity, the triune nature of God, is that God in three working together in uniformity at all times. Don't you wish the church would be that way? Don't you wish a family would be that way? We have conflict on occasion. So we're going to look at Genesis 1:1-3. I love this text in the book of Genesis. It's a powerful concept. The Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, hovering over the surface of the deep. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." This presence of the Spirit over the formless existence, making something from emptiness and darkness, is what God does. He is the Creator. But there is also a hint of salvation here. Because He takes something. Is it something or is it nothing? Is formlessness nothing or is it something? That is a great question for theologians, and some of you can think about that. But this salvation activity of God is something that is able to do a miracle and cause creation. In the same way, God can do the same thing in our lives. I think of who we are as Christians. As Christians, we are children of God. And there is a creative dynamic in our lives. There is a creative presence. As we become believers, we participate in that creative mission of Jesus Christ. It is in our DNA. When you look at the history of Christianity, you see Christians intervening into all kinds of crazy things. And we have a lot of crazy things going on in our world today. We have war. We have terror. But Christians, their presence is something that brings salvation to these kind of contexts. Thinking about the Chinese community church, a lot of joyful, creative hearts and minds and hands here. There is creative work being done. I think of the Chinatown Service Center. That is an activity that Christians are engaged in, helping people. So we don't only have this individual creativity, this individual salvation that comes when we commit ourselves to God. But there is a greater community dynamic that is there. I've been thinking a little bit about the Chinese community church and why we have so many people with government work background here. We do, don't we? Well, I will tell you, service, serving others, is something that is a part of the DNA of Christians. We save others through our actions. Our work for Christians is something that is extremely valuable and important, and it is a part of our calling. We also, individually, many of us struggle in life. And in a sense, before we become a believer, our life can be all confused. It can be formless. It can be empty. And this picture of the Holy Spirit hovering over creation is also the same picture that we have as God comes into our life, as the Holy Spirit enters our life as we become a Christian. It is a powerful picture of God's saving, not only in the beginning with creation, but also in our own personal lives, and also in community as we touch the society that we are a part of. We are a part of that operation of salvation that is taking place. Even if we daily witness tragedies and terrors like Munich or like Miami, where a gay bar was bombed, or the brokenness and darkness that impacts people that we know, the darkness in the political world, the arrogance and lies and the quest for power, is not very holy. The political shenanigans and all of this. Even our family dynamics breaking down. Even church dynamics breaking down. The reality is God's salvation, His Spirit, comes into these situations and can bring peace and saving and healing. So I pray that God will intervene in our lives individually and also corporately, that He will continue to touch your families, my family. He will also touch the Chinese church here in Washington, D.C. So many stories out there about people that have encountered God and have changed. I can tell my story again, I'm not going to, but I will tell you I was a lost human being, totally lost, clueless about life. I didn't have the benefit of being raised in a Christian home. Some of you have been raised in a Christian home, and thank God for that. But some of us haven't been. And I know that my life changed and my trajectory changed as Christ came into my life. But it's not only the individual that can change. A society can change. Culture can change. Christians throughout history have done remarkable things impacting their culture. In the 1700s, the English outlawed slavery primarily because of the influence of Christians in England. In the United States, we had anti-slavery religious figures for many years of our existence. A lot of people don't realize that, we have our Civil War and this great battle that took place to end slavery. But some states, like Massachusetts, ended slavery in the 1800s, in the 1700s, actually, even before the United States did. So there was always this current that all humans are created equal. And that was a Christian motivation. We also have women's suffrage, which was mainly church ladies and church people fighting to say we are equal. So in Christianity, there have been a lot of endeavors to bring salvation to our culture, in a sense. The Salvation Army, with Catherine and William Booth, youth groups. People have been called to develop groups and institutions, even churches, to change the dynamics of what they see. So, how is God going to use Chinese community church to impact DC? I'm not going to answer that question. You're going to answer that question. You're going to do it. But I guarantee you, God has a plan and a purpose, and He wants to use Chinese community church to impact lives. And the fact is, He has used Chinese community church to impact lives, and He will. I want to look at my first point here. There is but one Savior, God. It comes from Hosea. And Hosea writes, "But I have been the Lord your God ever since you came out of Egypt. You shall acknowledge no God but me." And you know the background to Hosea, tragic final days of the northern kingdom. Things were sinking quickly. Has anyone ever felt that way about anything? Bloodshed, violence. Hosea saw that the people of God had failed to follow God. And yet he writes here that you shall acknowledge no God but me, no Savior except me. They worshiped Baal. They went to Samaria and they worshiped the calf or the cow on the hill. They worshiped, they had materialism that took them the wrong way. International intrigue. They fancied themselves as great political wise people. And they were foolish. But the amazing thing, in the midst of the rebellion, in the midst of the terrible actions that they did, God still wants to have mercy on them. And it is the same way with you and me and us. God wants to have mercy on us. And he does have mercy on us. Chinese Community Church, by the way, has a statement of faith. It's really a statement of beliefs. There it is up there. There's several of them. God, Jesus, humanity, salvation, the church, and the future. But the one I want to talk about today is what your statement of faith says about salvation. We believe. Oh, by the way, what does the word we mean? What is we? Does that mean me? Or does that mean everybody? I think it's everybody who agrees. Because everybody who comes to a church is not necessarily a Christian. You can have all kinds of people in that church. You can have Rastafarians and Buddhists and all kinds of people, non-believers. They come to church and they're looking around. They want to see, am I going to believe this? And then slowly, as they meet the wonderful Christian people, they say, you know, I think I might become a believer in Jesus Christ. These are such nice, kind people. But you know, sometimes you have a church where everybody's mean. Now, you're not going to attract many people like that. So whenever you have visitors, you have to welcome them and shake their hands and love them. But we believe, this is what we believe. God, in his mercy and grace, saves sinners. God takes an action. God chooses to save sinners. Now, one of the things about the Bible and about this statement of faith is that it is clearly stating that we are sinners. That's an interesting term, sinners. What's a sinner? I'll get to that later. But God loves sinners. All who repent of their sins. He saves all who repent of their sins and trust in Jesus Christ alone. 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 Only Jesus Christ. Very exclusive. One of the things I love to do is I love to look at websites, church websites. I'm sure Louise, my friend, has a website in her church in Amsterdam. And then you can look around and see websites. Some churches put everything in the book. They put the whole Bible on the website. They say, that's what we believe. Some churches don't put anything. The Chinese church has put a few basic things that we believe. And I think it's wonderful to have some things that you say we believe. And so one of the things the Chinese church believes is in salvation, which is important. Repent and trust God alone. The Chinese church also believes in growing as a believer. So on the website, there are links. So if you're ever wondering one day, what should I do? Should I watch Korean drama or should I watch this or should I do this? You can go to the Chinese website, the next slide there, and this is the Daily Bread. I happened to look at this a few days ago. I don't even know this person. She's a Chinese woman from Singapore who is on part of the staff of Daily Bread in Singapore. And for this day, she has her picture there. Her name is Po Fang Xia, mainland Chinese person. Interesting story. She's a chemist, and God leads her and calls her to work for this organization that helps people. Sometimes God leads us in ways of ministry, and apparently God led her in that way. But as Christians, we also believe that our work also is ministry. So you can be a chemist and to be doing the will and the work of God. So I just wanted to throw that picture up there. So she has some really cool, very nice devotionals on that website, which you find in the resources section of the Chinese Community Church's page. My second point is this. We all need the Savior, but we have excuses. 1 Timothy 1:15, Paul writes to Timothy at Ephesus, "Here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst." Paul's writing Timothy. Timothy is at a church that's going through some kind of growing pains. First, the number of people are increasing. He has to change the organization of the church. Plus, when new people come in, a lot of false teaching is coming in also. Does anyone, you know, false teaching that's all over the place? How do you deal with false teaching? Correct teaching. That's the best way. Balanced teaching. That's the best way. And so Timothy was dealing with this problem. Timothy also had another problem, is that leaders, who do we point as leaders? And Paul puts down a whole bunch of information about how to select leaders, which the Chinese church is thinking of doing, which is a good thing. You need to have leaders. But I also believe that God raises leaders up within communities. Also, God pulls leaders from other places. It's a challenge. And I am so glad that there are people in the congregation who are dealing with that challenge. And I pray for this church that they will bring in a Chinese leader to lead this community. Paul makes sure, he points out, the saving actions of Jesus Christ. Jesus came into the world to save, he says. Now, I want to define salvation a little bit. I was going to bring some books on salvation, which I haven't read. Okay, but the truth is, there are like humongous amounts of material that people have written on this topic. It's a lot. So I'm just so proud that we only have one sentence up there. It's pretty good. It makes it simple. And simplification is a good thing. It's not a bad thing. But I want to expand a little bit. Salvation is about regeneration, changed life. Because you've received the eternal life from God, a changed life where you have changed and your whole perspective of the world begins to be altered by that spiritual dynamic that has taken place. Hope. Now you have hope. Even if you're in the worst situation possible, even if you're like in a place that is terrible, you can have hope as a believer. And you have a future. God's salvation changes us because now we are a part of a community. We are a part. We are with one another. The church, the body of Christ. Another one of the six theological items on your webpage. Salvation is this personal dynamic, but it's also community oriented. Now, there has been, over the years, opposition to this Christian view of salvation, the individual view of salvation. Some people don't like that. Some people don't like to be called a sinner. And so, in the 19th century and 20th century, there were philosophers and theologians that threw out the idea of sin. There's no more sin. It was to the point that somebody wrote a book called Whatever Happened to Sin many years ago. Whatever happened to sin? Well, it's because society threw it out the window. There's no more sin. Very modernistic view. And this philosophy, ideology, has impacted many denominations, many churches, and almost all of them are on a steep slide. They're dying out, losing membership, losing influence, losing spiritual authority, compromising and compromising and compromising. And they developed this concept that salvation was all about the social and political, freeing oppressed peoples. That's what salvation is. It has nothing to do with God, and you don't even have to believe in God, and you can have salvation. There's no longer any personal sin. Well, what do you do with the Bible? when someone says there's no longer any personal sin, where all of the prophets, the New Testament, the Old Testament, Paul, they all talk about sin and they all talk about repenting from sin because sin destroys. But these people, they would even say that the goal is not to get rid of this personal sin that doesn't exist. It's to get rid of societal sin. Get rid of the evil systems, such as capitalism, oppression, and intolerance. Only education can bring this salvation. In fact, they believe that education is the only thing that can eradicate the flawed human behavior. Now, so you have these two sides, this debate taking place. I want to say that when we look at the Bible, we see both a vertical dynamic of our relationship and response to God, and we see a horizontal dynamic of our relationship to others. Both of these are essential. Some churches, they get rid of the horizontal. All you need to do is believe in Jesus and you're good. You can act like the devil. You can be a bad person. Just if you're saved, you're saved. You got it made. Well, there's no horizontal dimension. And some people, they continue on saying, all you have to do is take care of each other. Take care of your brother, love your brother and sister. And they ignore this vertical dimension, this encounter with the living God, the creator of the universe. We are called to be fully engaged in our faith as Christians. And the vertical and the horizontal are both important. You can't have one without the other. Last point is this. I hope I'm not stepping on too many toes here. Okay? God will heal you. Don't worry about it. Maybe I won't come back. So that way it's good too. So who knows? Can we save ourselves? That's a good question. We try to. Exodus 20:23. Do not make any gods to be alongside me. Do not make of yourself gods of silver or gods of gold. Some of us do this metaphorically, but mostly in the scripture, it's talking about literal gods. The Old Testament and the New Testament both forbid making idols, trusting in idols. What's the purpose of an idol? You know, I'll be honest with you. I was thinking about this. I think an idol would be pretty cool to have. I mean, an idol instead of God? If you had an idol, one thing is that they're user-friendly. You can put them or put her where you want it. If you wanted to give it a bath and clean it, you can, or you can leave it dirty. You can move them around the house, put them in the restaurant, put them in a temple. You can give all the attention you want to the idol or not give any attention. Indeed, you control the idol. And so really what an idol is, it's all about domesticating God, making God nice and tame. It's like going to a church where no one challenges you. Oh, let's have a good day. No one challenges you to respond to God. Oh, you're okay, I'm okay, we're all okay. The prophets of the Old Testament, and by the way, if there was a prophet of the Old Testament up here, I would be intimidated because they're kind of scary. But the reality is, we cannot create God. If we create God in our image, we're in trouble. God is independent. He's separate. He calls us to repentance. He's God Almighty, the creator of the heavens and the earth, who hovered over a formless void and created and said that let there be light, and there was. Friend, don't domesticate or tame God. Accept the living God who requires of you total surrender and commitment. Are you trying to tame God? Have you been? He calls you to purity, to holiness, You can't appease him with a breadcrumb, little money. No. It's total surrender to him is what is required if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. It's not about club membership. It's about total commitment and surrender to the living God, not to the preacher, not to the church, not to the church board, not to the leader of the deacons or the leader of the board. We love them all. They're all nice people. It's about God. There is but one Savior. We all need the Savior. No excuses. Can you save yourself? No, you can't. So I ask you this morning to read with me Jude 24:25 doxology. And then we're going to have an opportunity for you to respond. If you would like prayer, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand and put it down. And the kind of prayer that I want to do is if you feel that you need this salvation from God, raise your hand. If you feel you need in your community to see salvation taking place in the culture, in the society, and you've been very burdened lately by it, raise your hand on behalf of your community, and we'll pray also. And then while that, I would like to have music going on. To him who is able, let's read it together. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and without great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. We'll spend just a moment in prayer. And you just be considering if you would like to raise your hand as a sign of faith and response. Mighty to save.